Hi, this is Tracy Swedlow, and we're on Radio ITVT. It's our 10th anniversary this year, and we're very excited to have someone in our industry who's been around longer than that, somebody who is a real veteran of our industry, Anthony Smith-Chagnon, who is NAGRA's Senior Director of Product Marketing for Embedded Connectware, UI, UEX, NAGRA Solutions, and Set-Top Boxes. That's the longest title of all time. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Tracy. Very nice to talk to you.
Well, we've been talking all of these years. We were watching the rise and fall of different technologies, ideas, companies, and maybe like, you know, not many, right? We're still here.
I think you fired up ITVT in 98, did you not?
98, you're right.
Yeah, 99, I joined the DVB, and I identified your website and what you were doing in the industry as something key to what we wanted to be involved with. And I think our last podcast actually was in 2009 when we talked around a particular topic at that time. So yeah, the ebb and flow of digital TV has been something that we've been following all these years.
Well, and one of the companies that you're working with, of course, NAGRA, Kudelski, right? Purchased OpenTV, and OpenTV has been around for quite a long time before NAGRA purchased it.
Go ahead.
No. I'm kind of curious if you have any interesting inside tips about when OpenTV first started.
No, I think OpenTV is way back in 93, might even be 93, 94 time frame, I believe. Could even be earlier. I've never really looked. But NAGRA, yeah, OpenTV was if you remember back in the days of Liberate, you know, there were companies that identified digital television was a place where we could exploit the digital aspect and do things on TV. And once upon a time, we all believed we might be doing email on television and our banking on television. Such was the kind of use cases that we put together. But naturally, the television industry from that era developed, in fact, most of the tools and many of the tools that we're all using today on the internet for internet-driven television. And I think OpenTV is one of the founding fathers of many of the technologies and continue to develop under the umbrella of NAGRA Kudelski, of course, bringing a huge portfolio of technology that this market uses.
Well, of course, OpenTV was the software, the middleware layer, you know, for the work that Sky was doing all of those years, right, during the 90s,
yes,
that Rupert Murdoch put into place. And that's one of the major reasons we have a business that we do, because he subsidized those set-top boxes so they could get into the hands of people, right? And I do remember there were applications where you could do your banking, you could send email, you could give money to charity. They're all, you know, an EPG. There were all these ideas that we're still wrestling with, although I think the banking on your TV is still as sort of come and gone for the moment. But, you know, we'll see. And
we could even order pizza. We could even order pizza prior to watching a film. And then I saw a couple of years ago, a young buck company had just started up doing interactive and said, oh, we got a brilliant use case. You can order pizza before you start, you know, your film. And the thing is, with many of these ideas, they sounded great during that era, but some of them practically, you know, in practical terms, never came to fruition or didn't work, because, of course, alongside the growth of television, we had the growth of the internet itself and all the devices that came with that. So, you know, a lot of things morphed over into, you know, you do everything now on many of those additional interactive elements. You do them on your iPhone, pad, tablet, Android, and all the other devices that are, you know, that are now associated with instant access and connectivity.
Well, since a lot of those tasks are done by that second screen, right, or the second the other
Yeah.
device, Open TV is still pushing forward the pay TV agenda, right? Just to deliver the
Yes.
entire TV experience through a set-top box. And with the rise of all of these other OTT boxes, right? The Fire Stick and Roku and all these other, third-party competitors, you guys still are, I shouldn't use the word still, but you're strongly, involved in the business of delivering a full one-stop shop, set-top box, unified experience. So I want to hear a little bit about that. I know you've recently introduced some new platform technology last September, but I, and there's so many things in between that have happened all over the years. But I'm definitely interested in Open TV's perspective as why the pay TV market is still a powerful sort of offering going forward when everybody thinks that that they want to plug in the latest device. I mean,
Yeah.
what are you offering that you can do better than
Well, I don't know if it's just, I mean, we're all looking for the latest technologies. We're looking after the market, we're looking after the consumers, and we're all looking after business for the content providers. We've gone such a long way where we just had signals that were broadcast to the set-top box, and then first connectivity to give interactivity was the PSTN or telephone lines, and then we've had all sorts of scary stories where people went on vacation and the set-top box was being dialed up and they came home to huge bills, and then we eventually we got Wi-Fi came into being, and we sound like old sweats of the industry, but we've lived through all these technological changes and developed the portfolio of products as things have morphed and grown. So interestingly, where middleware sat in the past was the set-top box basically became a computer and was able to manage all this additional data and technology, and then we started offsetting things back to the head end. So in effect right now, it's gone back to a client server technology in effect. So we've seen that all these set-top boxes now are connecting to a back-end system, and that is nourishing these devices. We called them, I think in the old days, we or a few years back, we were all talking about reducing the CapEx for an operator and taking these huge boxes that had storage in them and all kinds of memory, and reducing those down to become a thin client. And the word was thin client at that time.
Right.
But of course, you still need something in the box that manages the big screen experience. So, yes, you can connect a tablet today, quite a nice tablet as well, because they've also grown in size, to watch TV directly on your tablet. But if you really still want the big screen experience, and of course, in parallel, the consumer electronics industry has grown. So TVs have gone from, 24 inch up to 84 inch even. You can have a huge Ultra HD 4K cinematographic experience in your living room, but you need a device to be able. There's always seems to be a terminating device, and broadcast has not completely gone away.
Well,
The
it's
internet has not
interesting.
completely taken over.
What's interesting if you say broadcast, as people have looked for that thinner client or the smaller footprint of a box in the house, all of the other services and capabilities of the larger, heavier set-top boxes have gone away, right? A lot of these OTT boxes, or all of them, don't offer the ability to record. But at the same time, all of these services are starting to make deals with sports outlets and develop, give you live television through skinny bundle partnerships and things like that. But then the user, the viewer at home, doesn't have a box that's capable of recording all that stuff. So they've kind of It's kind of like they've come back to the old style of delivering live and on demand, and yet the boxes are not capable of handling that big TV experience all the time where you can record your live programming. So I'm kind of curious if you think that eventually, that people will come back to, I think that's what you're saying, that you think that they'll come back to the full managed experience that you guys deliver.
I mean, I think we've talked about this for years in the industry. It's about fragmentation and offering, the customers what they want. The internet has grown in megabits and capability so rapidly that, of course, we've all taken advantage of that in the industry. And we've got parallel services. We've got full OTT services. The Niagara Open TV Suite is a fully OTT, ready. To accelerate anybody who wishes to have an online, an online presence, regardless of satellites, cable, and all the other broadcast elements. I think, the massive investment that the pay TV industry has done in their plants and everything they've done, was held, maybe held them back a little bit, and that's why some of the OTT, pure OTT players took advantage of that. But then, of course, the industry is huge. I mean, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry, which has then gone, oh, okay, fantastic. I think the pure OTT, the small boxes, and people who are only interested in a very narrow format of content, that satisfies them beautifully. We call them cord cutters, but they were probably dissatisfied. We don't watch 300 channels, 4,000 or 5,000 of channels, but if you take the population as a whole, you what's happening at the moment is everybody's trying to please every single individual on the planet with their own private television lineup. And I think that's where we've struggled as an industry and a challenge. So, binge watching is another phenomena that popped up. But I've
Right.
had a go at binge watching. And after, I tried Suits, the program, and by season 2.5, I was completely fed up with the same characters, same plot, the twists, the turns. Can we offer a television system that suits everybody more generically, from the retiree in their home, right down to the toddler, in a completely granular, fine tuned per person offering? And I think that's where the challenge of our industry is. So there are still millions upon millions upon millions of people who come home from a hard day at the office or in the fields, and have had a tough day in the hospitals and wherever they've, had their day, and plonk themselves down in front of the television at a certain time in the evening and want to be fed or have a diversity of entertainment. Now, the brilliant thing now in, of course, today's modern TV environment is we can feed them with everything and anything. You can have your SVOD subscriptions, so you can just go in and dig into what you're happy to watch. You can fire up the EPG and look at what the TV company has provided for you in that window that you've got available to yourself. And one thing we harnessed in the Niagara Kodelski Open TV Signature Edition, which we launched, which you referred to earlier on,
In
is to
September.
give people, yes, in September, is to give people the opportunity when they do sit in front of that big screen TV or even a tablet, is that they can navigate to where they want to go, either be fed by recommendations, suggestions, by they might have heard something driving home, heard an advertisement in the car for some new program that's out, must watch. They might have driven on the bus and gone by a bus stop where they're still doing out-of-home advertising. I've even seen some of the big SVOD players putting traditional advertising up in the railway stations. So I think what we have today is we have a very rich pasture of television. We've got access to almost everything.
What
However,
is
if we look at where that's actually heading, I've got a particular instance here is I've just arrived in the US. I'm settling in. It's the autumn season for rugby, which I'm a huge fan of. And being a Welshman, I want to follow my team. I am now trying to navigate through all the available solutions there are to me to get access to the rugby that I love, that I want to watch. I cannot tell you how difficult that's been a day's exercise so far in trying to find out what's legitimate. You know, it's not some piracy streaming site that's going to take my money and not give me what I really want. Is it I have to take a full subscription to somebody who's actually signed up for the rights for that? It's predominantly in the UK under BBC. I can't have access to the iPlayer because despite BBC being worldwide, there are still restrictions. It has become quite a stressful exercise. Even ESPN, there's ESPN UK, there's ESPN US, but US I can't find at the moment something that satisfies me. So have we really cured this problem of what you want, when you want, where you want? I don't think we have. We've
The
actually
people,
made it complex.
I mean, the average consumer wouldn't probably, have a difficult time navigating, even just finding, ABC perhaps on, on their OTT systems, of course, until the whole revolution with local television takes place, which is another topic. But there are various methods by which you can access probably that kind of content, but it's sort of only known by the insiders. There's various websites and services that are, but probably we are not going to go into all of those right now. But they do exist. So anyway.
No, but it just means that they put the cognitive burden now. So television in the past, you know, you came home, it was all done for you. I know it sounds a little bit old-fashioned, but there are still people in the world who are very happy to have things made easy for them. When we've done some of the discussions around, we did some filming with a studio around our technology and presented them this Open TV solution where, you know, it's really, really a one-stop shop where you basically curate everything. You're allowing the pay TV operator to say, I will bring in the SVOD suppliers, I'll bring in all these various different flavors and channels and make those available through one single device, through one single sign-on, through, you know, only one subscription fee, and make it easier. What we're going now is we're splitting off and fragmenting and we're doing content stacking. So content stacking is a burden for the consumer because you can content stack, of course, and there are easy methods, but you might have to get several boxes because they're associated with a single device. They've got a separate interface, got a separate remote control, they've got a different user navigation system. And over all the years I've been in TV is we've always tried to make this simple for the consumer. And I've got a feeling now as we fragment away, maybe this is what TV becomes, but certainly I still think there's a place, and we think there's a place for reducing that complexity, making it more simple. And now the pay TV operators have realized that if they reorganize the packages correctly, they rebundle, they give the consumer the opportunity to feel that they're getting the selection that they want. Because you're not going to get 100% of everything, I don't think.
We just put out a column by Colin Dixon about binging and bolting. All these OTT offerings, right? That you get tired of a particular offering because the content you signed up for is done for now, and so, and then the burden is on all of these broadcast, studios to remarket their content to figure out what to offer. But that's all that those are the only tricks in that they've got is buying more content, funding more content. Whereas, there are other things about watching TV and other ways to be interactive and other kinds of services they could be offering to entice their fans. So I'm kind of curious about all of the other things that the, Open TV platform can offer. You guys, for example, have always been able to offer interactive TV options, from early on. perhaps create interactive advertising, maybe even community. You've got this new interface you call the ION, right? ION.
Yes. Yes,
multi-journal UI. I want to hear a little bit about that. Like, tell me more about what makes the whole OpenTV experience, you know, unique beyond just organizing content for people, because that's maybe what's setting you apart. And then, you know, where is this being deployed?
You know, I think, yeah, now, there's so much available to the pay TV market right now, you know, with metadata, voice recognition technology, you know, dynamic pricing models, sort of e-commerce style, much more responsive content. There is oodles and oodles and oodles of content out there for all the tastes. You know, I even sat the other day and watched for the first time in my life on a local, in where I'm staying, actually, on the pay TV solution that's in the house, the bass fishing competition channel, where men were pulling fish out of the water, and I was fascinated for about
I was fascinated for about
20 minutes, I think, and then I was like, I couldn't imagine watching this day in, day out, day in, day out. I want to go and see something else. So in the ION user interface, we have a lab in San Francisco that a user testing lab. We've got great designers, and we've dug very deeply into the consumer side of television. And we put together a user interface that very much, you when you sit in front of it and you start to use it, and this we showed off in IBC in September, is you feel like it's personalized for you in a sense. You have different methods of accessing to the content that you're interested in. You can fire up an EPG if you're if that's your wish and that's what you want and you really like that old-fashioned. It's interesting to say the EPG was born in 1981 and it's still a major part, and one of the SVOD providers that was doing Mosaic only, in the end, in order to increase subscription, they were forced to put in an EPG as part of the package because that's what the consumers wanted. So, you know, it's very difficult to change habits as well. And user interfaces have been a particular interesting topic over all the years. The last thing you want is to change your UI dramatically because you get too many people calling up. Things have to be slow and incremental. So what we did was we said, look, let's harness all of this, put it into a single user interface, and give whoever's in front of the TV the access to the content in the way that they wish. So you can go EPG, but we've redesigned that EPG to be EPG for the modern purpose by implementing inside that EPG access to what you think is linear TV, but in fact is our SVOD or VOD assets. So they look like they're in a timeline, and even a person who's actually favors the EPG might click, oh, look, you know, at 11 o'clock, there's this particular program. I want to watch it. Boom, they click it. It's actually just on demand.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting that you can bring the old world and the new world together to give a better experience.
Mm-hmm.
You can create personas and channels. So you can have things. If you're very much interested in cooking, you can curate into that EPG or via another mosaic mechanism of entry, different content around a particular subject. So we've got a lot of different ways to navigate. Now, we call it multi-journey because it's the same content pool, ultimately, because that's how a pay TV operation system works. Is there's a particular catalog. There's a particular specialties they have, services that they offer, but you have to make that look as eclectic and different as possible, and navigation should be quick, and you should be able to get what you want. So if you prefer to do timeline, if you're a recommendations person, you like the system, is what it's giving you, you're in on the recommendations. And the difficulty about explaining a UI, of course, over the radio, is that these are something you must touch and see and feel to get the understanding of what that actually brings you. And it's all about satisfaction at the end of the day. an NPS score is if the operator can keep the customer happy and accessing the content they want, then they won't churn. They will stay. And additionally, now because this UI is being nourished by, in fact, our Open TV platform, which is the head end nourishing that user interface, the Open TV experience, as we call it, and ION is this iteration, is with all those additional things I mentioned earlier on, we can put a very rich offering to the consumer, including the SVOD services that they wish to access today. We can manage that now in such a way from the content management system. We can promote, we can push, we can watch, we can see all the different. So we're getting towards that personalization, and we're getting towards a much richer and a much more attractive package through a single remote control. And I think
Are you
that's the really key aspect.
seeing any trends about how people are using the ION platform, the ION aspect of the platform? I mean, are people turning to a particular style more or less?
No. I think it's flexible enough that you will navigate, you tunnel in some instances, you navigate left, you're up, you're down, and people are quite, it's interesting when you watch people in the lab, because in the lab in San Francisco is it just depends on their preferences. You see people clicking on things that are promoted that they might not have watched. So there's the serendipity aspect. We think you might like this. This is an interesting program on space or a moonwalk or the things. That's the problem as we split off and create content silos in this modern world that we're building, is if you want to save money, get rid of your pay TV service and have a single SVOD and do the cord cutting, your content silo narrows, because even if you take a mainstream content provider, they now realize, as you said earlier on, that they have to diversify, they have to really work hard to make that catalog stay fresh and be up to date to keep the customer and stop them running away to somebody else who's got something else to offer, which they'll try for a while and they might not like that, so they bolt again. So it's very complex, and we've created a complex environment, and we believe that this all-encompassing ecosystem is favorable on a consumer perspective. And at the same time, is the more that you've got the consumer in your pay TV environment, the more you learn about them with modern day analytics, and our content management can then cater even more so for that particular customer. So it is a lot of work we have to do today. And I think one of the things is it's there are technologies popping up all the time, and we tried voice. Voice is very interesting.
I was going to say, you guys integrate both Amazon Echo and Google, and I'm kind of curious. And you include various online TV apps, so I'm definitely curious how you're able to provide people with that kind of richer experience. Commanding apps, maybe things that affect the house, even. I'm not sure. Is it
Well,
becoming a
this goes back to the internet, where the internet is, it moves along rapidly, and the pay TV service wasn't quite up to it, because we had different technologies at the time that we weren't permitted. We were restricted by the particular physical nature of set-top boxes and code and APIs and everything in the boxes. Right now, we are looking at pay TV. We're looking at the internet with a pay TV lens, so to speak, and taking all the benefits that this very rapid technology is giving us. So voice is quite interesting, because unless you've been in the industry quite a while, everybody thinks voice is very new, but voice is not new at all. I was on a yacht, Paul Allen's yacht, at the NCTA exhibition in New Orleans. Now, I'm trying to remember the date. Now, it
A
must have been
yacht
two.
in New Orleans? Oh,
Yeah, it
I'm in
was
the river
Paul
in
Allen's
Mississippi.
it was Paul Allen's octopus. So
Okay.
he was using that, funnily enough, he was using the yacht as the exhibition center for charter. I think it was charter at the time. And he had in the yacht different rooms, and you had different technologies were being displayed. And there was a guy, a good old friend of mine from the industry, Tony Istvan.
Sure.
If he
Hello,
listen,
Tony.
if he listens to this, he's at Comcast now, I believe. Now, Tony was demonstrating to us a voice-controlled set-top box, and that was in 2000 and, dare I say it, 2000 and, I can't remember. It was in the early 2000s.
I visited Stanford Research Institute, SRI, right, in the early 2000s and looked at their voice control, voice activated remote controls. I remember that.
Now, and now voice, you know, I was at a meeting recently, and using voice has got so much better, and it's particularly interesting if you know where you want to go and you know what you want to do, of course. So again, this all comes back to the cognitive capability and burden of upon the individual user. Change channel, up, down, left, right. Okay, that's interesting. But if you really want to find content, a lot of the voice providers, they say, you know, show me all James Bond films without Roger Moore, you know, as an example. That's great, but we don't watch, you know, we don't watch, TV's watched in a very different way. We
I
could
tell
probably take voice and use it because we've heard something promoted somewhere, and then we've got the trigger to be able to then go and find that content.
I've got a killer app for you guys, or
Okay.
somebody out there who's reading or listening to this. 10-year-olds, 10-year-old girls love to take my, remote control, voice control remote and talk to the TV, and they want to see funny things happen, and they want to hear funny things said back to them, and they want to trigger
Yes.
other things. I mean, I'm not even sure that they care whether or not they're watching television when they're playing with the remote, but they want to interact,
Yes.
That
Yes.
would be an interesting app to offer.
Well, it's funny you say that because in the ION Open TV experience, we have one particular way of accessing content, and it's a sort of in that vein, a gamification, if you want, for the user, where you've got a mood based offering. So you'll click on, you know, you're feeling particularly bluesy, so you'll kick on the icon that represents bluesy, and it may not give you blues, sad films at all. It might give you something completely left field that you weren't expecting, that might
Something
cheer
to,
you up.
yeah, something to cheer you up.
Oh yeah, exactly. And there are many, many different ways of exploiting the content and the long tail content as well that's in the catalog. So you've got to be able to. It's funny because you're talking about the youngsters. My 11-year-old, she recently got into Friends, and she sat through, you know, two or three episodes of Friends and was hooked. And this was old, you know, I couldn't sit through it. It was something I'd seen, it was done. I was looking for new content, but the youngsters are still being exposed to good content that was made many, many years ago. And that's something that we can do in the working in this environment of the Open TV Signature Edition, where you're maximizing catalogs, you can tailor things for kids, you can tailor things for all generations. We're really in a nice place, and I've heard recently that it's called the golden age of television is being touted at the moment because the access to content is extraordinary. Now we've harnessed all of that. So the thing we've got to do with Open TV Signature Edition is we got to be able to harness everything, and the problems we've had in the past with pay TV, it was always long implementation cycles. It was always onerous, lots of engineering, and now we're able to speed all of that up. We've done all the work in effect, and with options for the different aspects of the different technologies that we can. One example is paywalls and services. There are different providers out there. So we've got to be able to make sure that the system that we're offering to a pay TV operator today is very much an ecosystem that works end to end. And that's one of the things. So we concentrate, yes, a lot on the consumer, but we've also got to concentrate on reducing the technology burden of the operator, making it much simpler, quick to deploy, accelerate their access online. And that's what our Open TV Signature Edition is has been fine-tuned to do.
We didn't really talk about metadata, and I know that's a key, aspect of the ION multi-journey, interface experience. And I think that is something that could help create that, a reason for people not to churn, would give the operator something, to offer users that other boxes can't do, which is because you have the whole platform available, and I'm giving, I guess, a suggestion is why not explore metadata, interactivity, things like that for these old shows, like you said, like Friends, right? Or
yes.
My daughter's watching Glee, all of these
yes.
things. Why not give them a layer of metadata and interactivity and, additional information or a way to interact with as a group or as a community with that content, with other people who are also interested in that content? Why can't Open TV or can Open TV enable that? And is it being or nobody's asking for that kind of service? Or do you think there's an opportunity there?
Yeah,
there
we highlighted
mm-hmm.
that in a sense in the what I mentioned earlier on in the personas. So there's one persona, Gourmet Girl, that we have in the interface, which does go out there. And if you choose to follow Gourmet Girl will be curated content. It might be curated automatically by analytics. It might be curated. It'll watch what you particularly like. You might have a preference for. Who's a famous chef? You might have a preference, or you might detest a particular chef.
That bad English guy, the guy who's always angry. What's his name?
Yes,
angry English guy. Or there's
yes,
Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, you might be a Jamie Oliver fan, but you might mm. not like. Is it Anthony Bourdain?
Anthony Bourdain.
So there's Anthony Bourdain. You might be a fan of his, but not. You might like the style of. Of a particular chef and not the aggressive, the Hell's Kitchen type angry
guy.
Man. So you're going to have curation and metadata, of course, is very basic in all of these systems. Is good metadata makes for great user interfaces and allows you to go out and gather. We work with we work with the industry and partner with many of the providers. Metadata is very interesting because it's very regional. So, Chinese metadata, Brazilian metadata, you've got to work very hard when you're offering an eclectic world service to ensure that you've got all the feeds, the metadata feeds, and the right quality of metadata as well, which is extremely important.
Don't you think that's a great opportunity for revenue streams, incremental revenue streams?
It is, and it is part of what we're doing now in our. Content management system. So we showed this content management system at IBC, and it's very much both automated and has a human interface element. Because I was once this studying a lot about this particular aspect of curation of content, and it was interesting. Apple Music was launched. Because you listen to that, you might like to listen to this, was the initial algorithms that were being pushed out there. And then one of the head guys from Apple Music said, no, come on, you've got to think bigger and wider than that. That's why we have disc jockeys on the radio. This is why you have people, certain music you would never imagine to put certain things next to certain things and curate music in that particular way. Only a human being can do that. Machines haven't quite learned that yet. And it's the same with everything we do. So we still see people on traditional paid TV and broadcast TV. There must be somebody who's paid to make the channel lineup for the day. It's not all done by machines, and you can tell when it's done by machines because there's a lot of repetition, and you can see it's lazy curation of content. So with our new content management system, you've got a fantastic tool where you have access to outside influence. So macroeconomics, economics, social media, what's trending, the news. If you can capture everything that's happening all around you in a particular area, you can adapt content to those situations. You, not only personal likes, people's personal likes, but anything that, and we, you know, let's say big celebrity gets into trouble, you know, and then we go, oh, you know, we they've got all these films, and it might be good promotion because they're not really in trouble. It's just they've done something naughty, and we might want to promote their films. You've got all kinds of incidents around us where we see that we take advantage of, it's almost e-commerce style, trending, fashions, a particular flavor, especially in advertising. You see that where trends kick up and we want to advertise a particular product. All this is available to you now. Everything is there. It's just a matter of tying it all together, making it easy to use, bundling it, and putting it into service.
Well, tell me about that. Let's go into the numbers a little bit, or the places. I'm curious about the worldwide distribution of Open TV these days.
I don't even know where to start. I mean, as I said, we've been in the industry.
Forever.
We are forever. Yeah, for a very long time. So, you know, we've got every continent covered. We have customers all over the planet, and that continues to grow. And I don't want to go into too many fine details, but it is a worldwide business, and it covers all of the aspects of satellite, terrestrial broadcast, pure OTT, hybrid. It is a fascinating TV world out there that we've managed to be part of for a very long time.
And can the platform, the new platform that you've offered, the Open TV Suite, and the Signature Edition, are these being positioned as a multiplayer, a multi-platform, platform, that can be that can deliver the whole TV Everywhere experience, perhaps to other devices? It is, correct?
No, absolutely. I mean, the minute that you are, no, of course. I mean, as I said before, it's a client-server technology in the true sense of the word. Whereas you're allowing access of clients to access into the server side, where you have then all the necessary tools, bells and whistles that you want to offer. So you have a pure Some of our customers, for example, don't have set-top boxes. So it's a pure TV Everywhere play where they're coming in with mobile devices, iOS and Android based, and then having exactly the same tools, catch up, start over, NPVR storage, and all the different aspects through the user interface, notwithstanding that the very core of Nagrod-Kudelski's technology is premium content security as well. So that is something that is part and parcel, is ensuring that all the operators that interact and are part of the Nagrod-Kudelski family, their business is fully protected. We've moved on then, of course, now into hybrid scenarios where you have people offsetting their platforms by having a premium offer on a big Ultra HD 4K set-top box, but also having a TV Everywhere scenario, and application access for the entire service that they offer.
Will we see interactive content though in the future? I mean, you guys have always been, behind it from the beginning. It's sort of disappeared a little bit. Is this something that where people could interact with the story itself? Is that not so
We
much?
saw, I well, it's always it always crops up because interactivity was a during a large part of the in the early days when interactivity was first touted, it meant that you had to have you had to have a connection back to the internet somehow. So first, initially, we had interactivity, which was broadcast-enabled apps. Play-along quizzes and things like that. You can still do that, and those still exist. And we also have, I saw an announcement today where, I think it was today, or maybe I'm a bit jet-lagged still, but it was about offering voice and doing voice interactivity where you could change the direction of the story, you could ask questions. So I think human beings are always curious about how they can develop people's affinity to be curious and to want to do other things that are available in that program. Some people have said in the past, "I don't want interactivity, don't touch. I've produced something beautiful. You're there to be drawn in and absorbed by, this wonderful story. I don't want anybody pressing the yellow button or the green button and doing anything different." Sport has remained interactive for and always will. It's a fantastic place to get additional assets, information on the teams by, the players' merchandising. So interactivity is still there. It's just done in different ways. And again, why interrupt the activity that's ongoing on the screen when you can do a second screen interactive service? So you see a lot of people are now using the tablet to do search about characters, search about people, find out more information, buy things associated with the shows that are on the TV. So
Are you
it is there. It is there.
playing in the I mean, because we're talking in another 10 years, right? Unless, like you said to me an email, you might be retiring in 10 years' time, 8-10 years' time. We'll see. No, you'll still be in the business. You'll still be here. But ACR, and this is really my last question, but ACR, automatic content recognition, is rising again into the single screen experience, where depending on what content's playing on the screen and what it hears, it can just figure out what's happening. It might provide other forms of interactivity with that content. Is that something that OpenTV is going to play with in order to drive that big single screen interactive experience, or is that not on the list of priorities? Because we're
No, but
seeing,
it's these.
ACR may it might play something a big role in the revolution of local television as we go forward. We'll see.
Yeah, the aspect of automatic content recognition and then listening and voice and all of this is quite an interesting subject that we're all part and parcel of. We've all got proofs of concepts. We've all deployed different methods on how we can be involved in ACR. One of the interesting things I'm following right now is they just released a new European law called the GDPR, which is General Data Protection Regulation. And there's new rules coming out about data protection and people's privacy. And this subject always reverts back to how much you're prepared to allow devices in your home to understand what you're doing. Not everybody's a fan of being monitored and content and recognition of things that are happening. They feel that's an intrusion of their privacy. And then again, there are others, and certainly the younger generation seem to be less and less concerned about what they do, what they give away, and what they show.
Well,
So
they
it
think
is.
they're
It
immortal, They
well,
don't
they
care.
do, of course, and they. They forget and they don't realize that my daughter's fine example being 11 years old. She put something up on the internet and she didn't really understand how wide and varied, how far that would go in her circle of friends and family, etc. And it wasn't particularly clever what she did. and it came back straight away. And then it dawned on her what she'd done. But she had no concept of the expanse of the internet and the expanse of the world and, how far things can go. So we've got a lot of, I think the regulators are keeping an eye on this as well, of course. So technologically, there's nothing we can't do this day and age. And I think that's why it's golden age of TV, because particularly you want to offer anything today, there's a technology that can allow it. It's just how you package it correctly, using it for the right purpose, and that it offers value to the consumer. So it really needs to be a benefit for your business and a benefit to the consumer. Then it gets implemented, then it becomes mainstream. And that's why a lot of the internet banking and interactive things, they seemed like a good idea, but they weren't really a benefit, because the benefit was taken away by you being able to do it easier, faster, quicker somewhere else, on a tablet, for example. So again, it's a marriage of technology, but it's a marriage of business that's really important.
All right, well, I think that's a great place to stop. There's so many things that are going to be coming out in the next 10 years. I look forward to seeing how Open TV leads the way and whether or not you'll still be here or you'll be retiring on some private island.
Well, hopefully, I mean, it was it 8 years ago we had a talk like this. Maybe it'll be sooner. There's lots
Yes.
to talk about, because it is an ever-changing industry, and the ebb and flow, as I said in the beginning, of digital TV certainly hasn't stopped.
All right, well, thank you so much, Anthony. I appreciate your being here. We've been through a lot together all these years. We didn't even really get to talk about all the technologies that have come and gone. Like you were saying, MHP, OCAP, Open, what was it called? What was it? Open Ramp? What was that thing called?
Oh, on ramp, on
On
ramp,
Ramp,
on
right?
ramp, EBIF.
Oh,
You can
God.
name, yeah. No, there's a whole
Yes.
string of them, isn't there?
Yes.
No, but Tracy, let me just say, I mean, it's been a pleasure knowing you all these years. I think you've done a great job in the industry of keeping this whole subject very active. I really enjoy everything that you and Richard put together on the website, and the
Thank you.
shows and the things you do. And congratulations on this 10 years, but congratulations on being there and sticking with it, because it's been great.
It's very kind of you. I have a hard time accepting compliments, but thank you so much. We do work hard around here, but you too. You've been working very hard, and I hope you keep up with your artwork.
Thank you for that. Yes, most of the people now we go, artwork, what's he on about?
No. He's quite a good painter, guys. Quite a good artist. All right. Anyway, thank you very much to everybody over there, and perhaps we can talk about the San Francisco office getting involved in at our next
Absolutely.
San Francisco event, which will be June 13th and 14th. And
All
thank you
right,
for,
look
like
forward
again,
to seeing you soon.
for contributing everything that you do and your leadership and your passion for this industry.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you. Anthony, of course, again, is the Senior Director of Product Marketing for Embedded Connectware, UI, UEX, all kinds of things at Nagra Kudelski. And you can look at their site, of course, at nagra.com, but dtv.nagra.com is, I think, the main page for all their digital TV services. Thank you so much. This is Tracy Swedlow, co-producer of TV of Tomorrow Show and the editor-in-chief of Interactive TV Today, and of course, Radio ITVT. Please consider maybe being interviewed as well someday. Submit yourselves. Thank you so much.